Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This portrayal, this vivid picture of Jesus as the Good Shepherd is a picture that gives such great comfort and such great assurance to the people of God. Whether you're young or old, man or woman, child, married or single, none of us can resist picturing ourselves as that little lamb in the caring and loving arms of the Good Shepherd Jesus. Perhaps you saw the picture that was shared on the cover of this morning's service folder and on the cover of our YouTube video or our Facebook page, or perhaps you've seen other pictures that very similar, that depict Jesus gently and tenderly and compassionately holding a little lamb in his arms. It's just a picture that symbolizes the love and care that our Savior Jesus has for us. And in this portrayal, in this vivid picture of the Good Shepherd, God provides us with the answer to a basic need that we have, a basic need for our everyday happiness and peace, the need to feel secure, the need to feel free from anxiety and free from fear of things around us. Our loving shepherd provides us with that sense of security that frees us to live our lives now in peace and in response to his grace. Yet while we rejoice in that, everything that picture of the shepherd-lamb relationship conveys to us, yet we often realize that so often we stray from that relationship with our loving shepherd. And so how good it is to hear today from the Apostle Peter here in 1 Peter chapter 2 to be reminded that the straying sheep have been returned to the shepherd's care. So that's what we'll especially focus on in our meditation on God's word this morning. Here in our reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, the Apostle Peter echoes words of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 53 when he said, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." Peter reminds us that, yes, there are times that all of us tend to ignore, we try to put out of our minds because it's so shameful, the fact that we all have a tendency to stray away from our loving shepherd. And it's not as if that's something that we've done once upon a time in the past and in the wild days of our youth and now we're done with that. Rather, if we're honest with ourselves, if we examine our hearts and our lives, we must admit that straying from our loving shepherd is something that we continue to do again and again. We keep on straying. And this is not always done in ignorance. It's not just because we're not aware of some command or law of God or some aspect of its will. It's not that we don't know any better and we just innocently wander away. But rather, even though we've been called from darkness into light, into the light of faith in Jesus, even though we are done with the old way, yet we so often still struggle with temptation to sin, to go on straying from our loving shepherd. And so that's why Sunday after Sunday in our worship services, in the confession of sins, we confess, "Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this, I deserve your punishment both now and in eternity." Now, each of us could certainly list a multitude of examples from our own lives of all the ways that this is true. The ways that we have sinned against God in our thoughts, words, and actions. We can just describe from our own lives exactly what it means to be disobedient to God's will and to refuse to listen to his promises, to live our lives as if God didn't exist. How How many decisions do we make? How many things do we do? How many conversations do we enter into in our lives without regard at all for the fact that God does exist and that He has specific will and desire for our lives? How often do we act as if we don't belong to our good shepherd? Well, there are definite consequences of this straying away from our good shepherd that we've also experienced in our lives. When we stray from the fold, from the sheep pen of our loving shepherd, we also lose that sense of protection and that sense of security that comes from being in the care of our loving shepherd. And so we feel vulnerable, we feel insecure, and we become defensive. We take upon ourselves the burden of providing or trying to provide our own care and security rather than rejoicing in the care that our shepherd gives to us. The promises of God no longer even feel true to us when God says, "Don't worry. Don't worry about what you need to eat or drink. Don't worry about what you need for clothing. Don't worry about your life, because your heavenly Father, your good shepherd, knows that you need all these things, and He has promised to provide you with them." We begin to doubt that that promise of God is true. When we go out from the sheepfold, we forfeit these promises. We bring on ourselves anxiety and worry and fear. Often we become defensive. And the result is that our actions and our attitudes become very un-Christ-like. Rather than taking the bumps and the bruises of life in stride, instead we let these things upset us. And so often we strike back against whomever we can reach. Rather than coping with the persecutions and the jeers and the mocking of the world, because we know that we have already won the ultimate victory through Jesus. Instead, we tend to lash out in response, to take revenge, to fight back, rather than remaining as faithful witnesses of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Often in our words and actions, which we know are wrong, yet we feel we are simply compelled, we have to lash out. We have to fight back in order to defend ourselves if we're going to survive. If we feel insecure like this and threatened, everything in life, even the little things, can become a threat to us and something that we feel sensitive about and that we have to defend ourselves against. We might even begin to feel when all the weight of all the burdens and problems and challenges is happening in our lives and comes home to us, that feeling of hopelessness. We might even feel like the Apostle Paul described our condition before we came to faith in Jesus in Ephesians chapter 2 as being without hope and without God in the world. Have you felt that way at all in recent weeks? Without hope, without God in the world. God, where are you? Why are you allowing these things to happen? Peter knew this feeling well. Peter was no stranger to succumbing to the temptation to stray away from Jesus, his good shepherd. And he also experienced the consequences or the aftermath firsthand. The promises of God had become so remote to Peter that in the face of the accusations and threats of that servant girl of the high priest in the high priest's courtyard when Jesus was on trial on the night before he was crucified, Peter felt so threatened that he not only denied that he even knew Jesus, but he also cursed and swore, called down curses upon himself in order to emphasize his denial, which of course was all a lie. Think about your life. Have you ever been, certainly not in exactly a similar situation to that, but in a situation where you climbed so far out on a limb that rather than swallow your pride and admit that you were wrong, you persisted in your folly, whatever it was. your lying, anger, out of fear that you would lose respect or admiration if you admitted your fault and asked for forgiveness? Did you even perhaps, as Peter did, curse and swear for emphasis, to try to emphasize that you are in the right when clearly you were in the wrong? How many of us have found ourselves in similar situations, whether it's in regard to our marriage, our job, our school situation, where we become so frightened, so defensive, that every look, every whispered word is we view as a threat, and we strike back, sometimes with a torrent of hateful words and language, and then we wind up feeling mortified and ashamed, totally embarrassed at what we've let ourselves just do. And the ultimate consequence is when we become so lost and so alienated from our good shepherd that tragically we become eternally lost, having lost our faith. And that is certainly a far different picture than the picture we have of being secure in the care and the loving arms of our good shepherd. In those loving arms of our good shepherd, we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to become defensive. We don't have to worry about getting lost or about not being able to find our way back. We don't have to strike back or defend ourselves and lash out at others in anger, because we know we have full confidence in the care of our good shepherd for us. And so it's a precious promise, a wonderful comfort that Peter speaks to us when he assures us that although we keep on straying by our sins, yet God in his grace has returned us to the care of our good shepherd. In verse 25 of our reading, Peter states, "For you were like sheep going astray, but you are now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." If you've ever driven through a countryside and seen sheep out in the pasture, out in the field, you know that often today, sheep are kind of left to fend for themselves. Now, of course, today they're usually left in pastures that are surrounded by fences, and so they can't go wandering off too far. And certainly there's a farmer or a rancher or a hired hand who goes in to check on them and give them food and make sure they're okay. But in New Testament times, the situation, the relationship between shepherd and sheep was far different. Each and every lamb was precious in the sight of the shepherd. There was almost a personal relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. Indeed, the shepherd knew each of his sheep by name, and the sheep knew the shepherd's voice. They would follow only the voice of the shepherd they knew. And the shepherd himself assumed total responsibility for the care and the well-being of the sheep. Very often when the sheep were gathered at night into a sheep pen, a paddock, the shepherd would sleep in the narrow doorway and literally then himself become the door for the sheep pen, through which no enemy could pass, and so the sheep could not wander out and get themselves into danger. The shepherd was committed to lay down his own life to protect the sheep if necessary. And so it's so fitting that Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Later in John chapter 10, after the words of our gospel reading that we heard this morning, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." We have certainly experienced this in our own lives, because Jesus is the good shepherd who leaves the 99 sheep of the large flock in the pasture to go after that one sheep that is lost and straying. By faith in the Good Shepherd Jesus, who gave up his life to save and rescue the sheep, the Good Shepherd upon whom the Lord has laid the iniquity of us all, we have been returned to the care of our loving Shepherd. We have been returned to the care of him who has the fullest knowledge of each and every one of us, who knows us so intimately and personally, who knows all of the depths of our souls. He knows every inner secret that we have. He knows what is best for us. And Jesus, our Good Shepherd, brings us back into his fold when we stray, because, as the prophet Isaiah says, by his wounds we are healed. And words of God through the prophet Ezekiel, also about how God himself, how the promised Savior, the Messiah, would shepherd his sheep, those words of Ezekiel are fulfilled by Jesus. Ezekiel chapter 34 says, I myself will shepherd my flock. I myself will let them lie down, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. Jesus brought us back. Jesus has returned us from our wandering ways into his own sheepfold, into the family of our Heavenly Father. And he did that all by his own death in our place, in payment for our sins. He sealed that, assured us of that by his resurrection from the dead. Our sin that had been the cause of separation, of enmity between us and God, is now all forgiven because of Jesus, our Good Shepherd. Now we are restored to his sheepfold, to the family of God. And Jesus continues to be the seeking, the searching shepherd. As often as we sin, as often as we stray, keep on straying and wandering away from him, our loving shepherd continues to call us back to him. He continues to come after us, to draw us again and again back to his care, back to the security of being in his sheepfold and in his loving arms. And so the life of a believer, of every Christian, is a life of daily repentance, of coming to God in humility, confessing our sins to him. As Luther put it, to put to death our old self, our old sinful nature, so that the new self can arise daily in newness of life, to live in righteousness and purity before God, safe in the loving care of our Good Shepherd. And so since God has drawn us into this relationship with him, we now can live our lives free from anxiety, free from worry and fear, free to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives through his word. And just like us today, so many of us today, because of all the uncertainty, all of the problems that are happening in the world around us and probably in our own lives for many of us, the people at Peter's time, the people to whom he was writing, also were frightened, were worried and anxious and facing very serious problems, even problems threatening their own safety and lives. For them, the threat of persecution was very real. Persecution because of their faith. Many of them had been driven out of their homeland and dispersed throughout many different parts of the Roman Empire simply because of their faith in Jesus as their Savior. They had suffered loss of their homes, loss of their possessions, loss of their employment and their means for earning a living and having a livelihood. And really, for many of them, there was no real prospect of improvement in their life. They didn't really have much of a hope that, you know, a month or two or three or six down the road, lives would more or less return to normal. Rather, they could only expect more of the same, more deprivation, more hardship, more persecution, even perhaps to the point of death. And many of them did lose their lives because of their faith, because of their loyalty to Jesus. Peter tells us and he reminds us that they and we can meet these things, can face these things and whatever else comes our way in life with firm confidence in the victory of Jesus, our good shepherd and our Savior for us. As the Apostle Peter writes in chapter 1 of his first letter, which we heard in our worship service a couple of weeks ago, we have been given new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is undying, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for us. Kept in heaven for us until that time of Jesus' second coming, when he will take us there to be with him. And so in this confidence and in this faith, we can bear up, we can endure anything that comes our way, even all the troubles that so many people are facing currently. We can bear up under those troubles just as Jesus did, patiently, without fighting back, without striking back, because we have heard the voice of our good shepherd. We've been assured that he holds us in his strong, protecting, caring, loving arms. He assures us that he has given us eternal life that has already begun and that will continue beyond the death of our physical bodies when God calls us to our home of heaven. Jesus has assured us that nothing can snatch us out of his. Our good shepherd will guard and keep and protect us. He will care for us and provide for us. And finally, he will bring us to himself in heaven. He has promised that there, intimately about what he was writing, because in his own life, he had experienced that kind of victory. Yes, Peter, who had denied Jesus so shamefully, who knew the depths of his failure, who felt it immediately when he and Jesus caught each other's glances across the courtyard of the high priest as the rooster crowed after Jesus had been convicted and was being led away to his death. But later on, having been restored by Jesus, having been assured that all of his sins had been completely forgiven, had been paid for by Jesus on the cross, and that Jesus had restored him to a position of service, to share the good news of his love and forgiveness with others, then Peter was emboldened, encouraged, and strengthened in his faith. And he persisted in bearing with torture, even with death, by leaders who had authority to carry out those threats. Yet Peter stood up boldly and said, "We cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." He refused to stop testifying about the good news of Jesus the Savior, no matter what they would do to him. Yes, Peter had strayed, but the good shepherd had returned Peter to his loving care through his seeking and forgiving grace. And that same good shepherd has also returned us to his loving care through the forgiveness of our sins that he has won for us on the cross. That same good shepherd has given us new birth into a living hope and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for us. That same good shepherd lets his voice be heard, which we hear through faith, through his word in the Bible. And he has given us eternal life. That same good shepherd promises to guard and to keep us strong and safe and firm in faith in him until the day of his second coming or until he calls us out of this life. That same good shepherd, our loving shepherd, promises that nothing can snatch us out of his loving arms. And so, standing assuredly, standing strong in the power that has been supplied to us by the Holy Spirit through these promises of God's love and faithfulness, we too can face with confidence and with hope, with patience and with endurance, anything that the world throws at us. We can face it without fear, without anxiety. We can face it with Christ-like strength and humility, because we know, we have been assured, God has promised to us that in spite of our straying, he has returned us to the care of our shepherd, the overseer of our souls. And so we can go out and bear witness to what we have seen and heard, all the loving actions of our good shepherd, Jesus. We are secure. Because even when we fall or stray, the forgiveness of our good shepherd restores us again and again back to his fold, back to his loving care, until he calls us to everlasting life with him in heaven. Amen.